And for the ones that don't embrace it, I really feel like you have to make sure that your experience in your office is so good that they want to put on pants. Okay? Experience is not that good. They're not going to want to put on pants. Okay? Because they have to want to come into your office. And if you got to look around, and I would challenge anybody that's on here that has an office, go in there and say, from a patient perspective, would I want to visit this?
How's it going, guys? Welcome back to another episode of the 2020 podcast, bringing clarity to business, entrepreneurship, and life. Thank you so very much for taking the time to join me here today to learn and to grow. I know this is a crazy time as we're all sitting at home during this COVID outbreak, and we're all looking for ways to be productive and to be better, and we're all wondering what this is all going to be like when we all go back to some form of normal life and normal work. And I'm telling you right now, this conversation that I'm about to share with you is the perfect conversation to listen to get inspired, to get motivated, and look, find new ways to be productive and to make sure you can come out of this stronger than before. I had the opportunity to discuss these topics with four exceptional optometrists, Dr. Adam Ramsey, Dr. Daryl Glover, Dr. Rachel Rubel, and Dr. Joseph Allen, all with different levels of expertise in different areas in the industry. Whether we're talking business management, finance, social media, networking, they all have amazing insights. And really, we cut through the BS and really got down to the details here. Whether you're a student, a new grad, an associate, a business owner, whatever level you're at, there were insights here for each individual person to learn and to grow. So I hope you find as much insight in this conversation as I did. I was truly fortunate to sit down with these amazing people and have this conversation. I hope you love it. And if you do, please share it. Take a screenshot, whether you're listening on a podcast app, whether you're watching on YouTube. Take a screenshot, post it on your Instagram story, and tag all of us and let us know what your takeaways were. Would love to hear your feedback. And I'll be doing more of these group chats with more exceptional optometrists in the coming weeks. So keep a lock for that. But in the meantime, here is the very first episode of group chat with four awesome ODs. I hope you love it. Thank you again for the support, guys. We'll see you again soon.
Get their hands in there and do something.
It's only the reason you guys are all on the call here.
we probably got a week or two more left of Netflix, and then all of a sudden, it's like, I watched all the murder mysteries I can see. There's no pandemic movies out there. So eventually, people are going to want to come back energized and engaged, and that's what I'm going to be looking for. And any staffer that doesn't want to come back in and be energized and engaged, I am sure there's somebody else out there. So I'm going to look at this like a musical chair situation. There are some great staffers that got let go from other places at no fault of their own. And maybe their bosses did not communicate well with them. And maybe they feel slighted and disrespected. And those people, I'm going to say, hey, Social Life Vision is open for business, baby. Come on over. Send in your applications. Let me know what we can do. And you know what? The ones that want to hustle, the ones that want to work, they're going to come on the money train. And we're going to get in here and we're going to do this. So, I'm not afraid of the situation. I'm excited. I feel like we're going to come out of this better as an office. Will we be rolling the same way we were rolling before? Maybe not. But I think my office will be more efficient, be more put together. I have more time to actually figure out my office systems. We're doing videos for the new staff. So we're going to be recording videos next week of this is what you do with this and this is what you do with that so that they can get onboarded faster from home. So, I mean, I'm looking at this time as a whole reset, and it's some stuff that I wanted to do before, but I ain't never had this kind of time. And I don't think I've had more than 4 days off in 10 years. So, I mean, to have this much time, I don't know what to do with myself, you know?
Yeah, I think Adam hit a great point. I mean, I think everyone's going to come back stronger than they ever have been in their entire career, the entire time that they've had their practice open. Simply because, you know, everyone's been exposed in regards to what they're great at and what they absolutely suck at. And we all know what we all suck at because it's being brought to light right now. Mm-hmm. So I'm looking forward to see, you know, each one of these independent practices, corporate optometry, to really grow the profession of optometry and create more awareness of optometry. Because now I feel like with all this stuff that's taking place, we're going to have more touch points and more awareness out there, because now people are going to start incorporating telemedicine. Now we're going to see better social media. We're just going to see better awareness and creativity out there in the world of optometry.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, sorry, Joey, please.
I just wanted to comment to Dr. Ramsey, him, the idea of him recording kind of behind the scenes stuff for onboarding new employees is super idea, because of all the time saving it'll make every time. Like if he does lose a patient, even or any sort of staff in like 6 months from now, a year from now, 2 years from now, he can still have those videos and be like, oh, here, a new employee here, you can learn all about HIPAA. Hey, you can watch this video. It'll teach you all about our safety of our clinic. Where's the fire hydrant? You know, what to do in this situation, all of that stuff. You just saved your time by just shooting one video once and then bank it and use it later. It's a brilliant idea.
And that's coming from the video expert. So Dr. Ramsey, you're clearly on the right track here.
I mean, if I can get the views on my videos that he gets on his videos, that's when, you know, I have the idea. It's just the views not really leveling up, but I'm working at it.
Hey, Adam, I think if everyone in the eye care industry added up all their views, we still wouldn't touch his. So I understand what you say, my man.
But you got to make the topic a little more interesting for the average person. But yeah, that's a really, really great idea, because I think a big part of being an owner is when you hire new staff is all the training, and you give them like a few weeks to kind of come on board and all that stuff. But if you got videos they can watch at home or wherever, that's a really cool idea. We've had a couple of questions come in that I wanted to just touch on. You know, Adam, you already touched on it a little bit about the online sales. One of the questions was, I can find it unless it's gone, or anybody else looking for online sales aside from supplements and drops. So I guess what's left is contacts and glasses. Anybody doing anything along those lines?
We're doing contact sales online every single day. We have patients calling from 2017 wanting to order, and we won't extend those prescriptions. But, you know, patients that had appointments that were supposed to be seen this month, and they're going, what do I do? Well, we are extending prescriptions for those patients and getting them their supplies sent right to their house. So it has been helpful for them and for us on a daily basis.
Rachel, yeah. I'm getting the same thing. I'm getting folks from like 2016, 2017. I'm like, dude, you should have been here for your routine eye exam a long time ago. What are you doing right now with your life? You know,
it's an emergency now, though, Daryl.
It's an emergency.
You know, before this, it's an emergency now, Daryl. Come on now, be understanding. You understand the pandemic. You know, last month I couldn't make it in. Come on now.
We've had patients break their glasses and they'll FaceTime me or Skype and. So here's what my daughter did. Can I just order the exact same pair, everything? I'm like, sure. You know, yeah. So that's been good. Just letting patients know we're able to do that.
Yeah, I think the craziest one I've had so far was I had a patient contact us. It's like a 12-year-old female, and she wears daily contacts, but she doesn't really wear contacts. And she wanted to get some trials of some dailies, and her prescription was expired. I'm like, no, wear your glasses. You didn't even order a supply last year, and you told me you only wear them like maybe 5 times a year. So why are you wanting contacts right now?
Yeah, all of a sudden.
Yeah, it's just weird, you know?
They don't want the reflection from the glasses in their Zoom conference calls. We're in a pandemic. It is an emergency. My colored contacts will hit really nice. Daryl, you're just being a little ridiculous. Come on now. Man.
I guess I'm not her favorite optometrist. What could I say?
No, you lost that with her. We are using Dr. Contact Lens as our system. We have personal practice management, and it integrates easily with that. So it sent out 400 text messages and emails. And the great thing about that system is that it goes backwards. So I've looked at CLX and some other systems, and it only goes forward. But I'm not seeing any patients right now, so it's not going to help me today. I need something that went back a year worth and tell the people that are eligible to order. So we've been using that, and that has went good because it's automated. So we do the ones where they can text us and email us to order contacts, but that's still manual entry, and I only have one staff left. So the Dr. Contact Lens, it's sending them an email and a text message. It pulls in their prescription from in my EMR. It already has a price in there. It says, do you want to order? They hit yes. It then orders it through ABB, and then ships it to the patient and then gives me the money. So that has been really good. I've been trying to find anything that's automated that requires me to have less need of staff and less overhead, and that one has worked out really good. We just signed up a couple weeks ago, and that's worked out really well. So I'm excited for that, and I'm hoping that's another thing that we're going to – we only signed up because this happened, and we're like, okay, I know I was going to lose staff. Let me find something that's efficient. Mm-hmm. Then I'm like, crap, I'm going to keep this going forward. I'm like, that's better. I don't want you to call my office and have my staff have to manually enter an order. By the time I pay them, sometimes it had one or two boxes you want to order, that I didn't make any money. So this other system, it seems to be much better.
Yeah.
Well, you know that and our EMR does the same thing too. Our EMR, we were able to create a report. It's sending an automatic email and text to the patients, hey, you may be out of contacts, and then directs them to our website to order. So it's we didn't have the capability of doing that. We have Revolution.
Okay. But when they order, but then they're going on your website to order, is it going through like ABB, like UroLens, or is that what it's using?
Yeah, we have ABB and WVA, and it does it automatically through our system.
Great.
Those sound like boxing championship titles, but that's fine to me. that's awesome. So I know there's a lot of people who would love to learn a lot more about this, because these are the kind of the nuts and bolts of business right now. But there are a few other topics that I want to make sure we cover, and I don't want to keep everybody for too long. So let's switch gears now. Coming out of this, where do you see, like Adam's already said a few times, it's not going to be business as usual. It's not going to be the same thing it's always been. In fact, that's probably a good thing. Where do you see optometry in 10 years? And now I'm not just talking, how your office is specifically dealing with individual patients. Let's broaden the scope here. Online and virtual exams and things like that, how do you think that's going to play in the next 10 years? What do you think optometry kind of looks like just across the board, retail model versus medical model? You don't have to go into too much depth on all those topics, but I'd like to hear if you guys have a few specific thoughts. Daryl, if you don't mind.
Yeah, absolutely. Honestly, I think optometry is going to revolve around this. I think we don't take this cell phone seriously. This is the future of optometry. This is the future of business. This is the future of everything. And there's a few areas that we have to look at why this is so powerful. Number one, technology, disruptive technology. As you mentioned before, there will be online refractions. They're not going anywhere. That will be the new way for optometry. We will be examining, looking at red eyes with this as well. People will be ordering glasses with this as well. So it's very important to make sure that we are well equipped when it comes to technology and make sure that it's adaptable to the cell phone. Again, going back to the cell phone, the other thing is social media. Social media is such a powerful tool. About 3.8 billion people have social media presence. That's over half of the entire world. So that's very important. If half of the world is on this, we need to have some type of presence on this device here. So, your cell phone is going to be huge. And in particular, you want to definitely be on platforms like Instagram, simply because we are in a profession where there's a medical aspect as well as a retail aspect. And when it comes to the retail aspect, there are some companies out there that are doing some big things. The whole AI. It's going to be to a point where folks want to buy stuff online through their Instagram app. They're going to be able to try on frames and be able to purchase from there. So if you're not really basing your practice around this, you're really going to suffer down the road. There was an article I read last year where they were talking about virtual try-ons, and Instagram was trying to shorten that cycle as far as purchasing certain items, whether it's glasses or clothes. And they basically were saying that, they're going to shorten that cycle, get all the information they need, and process that sale right away. But on top of that, guess who was the main eye care provider that was actually in that circle of trying this out? Any guesses? Warby Parker.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
Right?
Yeah.
So they're already ahead of us in regards to communicating with our patients. Whether you're independent, whether you're corporate, we got to step the game up because, again, everything's going to revolve around that cell phone. And the last thing is also YouTube. I mean, we got a YouTube expert here, so I'm pretty sure he's going to share with you the importance of that. But think about all the things that we can do in eye care with YouTube, whether it's product review, whether it's education, whether it's testimonies and things of that nature. And where do people look at that? On their cell phone. I mean, when you look at your web traffic that goes to your website, you'll probably notice about 50% or more of it is all through the cell phone. So I really think that we really need to hone in on that cell phone, start to really revolve our practice around that, and look at social media, look at disruptive technology, look at YouTube, and realize that we really need to be aware of what's going to take place down the road. And we don't want to get left behind. We want to make sure that we can shine, especially being that we have a retail aspect to optometry.
For sure. Yeah, that's a fantastic perspective. And Joey, I was going to come to you next anyway, and I think Daryl's lined it up nicely for you. Do you have any thoughts on, from your perspective, you know, where optometry might be headed?
I feel that with not just online refractions, but things like taking pictures of the back of your eye and how easily that's being done using both AI and then just going on in the future, there's going to be so much data going into the electronic system so quickly with all of this patient data, because I know there's a giant pharmacy company that's developed an entire vision pod that is going to be right in the pharmacy for the patient to just sit down, close a curtain, stick their head in a little thing. It'll measure the auto, it'll take a picture of the retina, do an OCT, and just instantly sends that off. So who's it going to be sent to? Is it going to be sent to a doctor in the United States? Is it going to be sent to a doctor in India because then they don't have liability? Are they going to have a screen pop up and have us talk to them? Like, that is a true reality of what's coming forward. And so for us to get engaged with it and be the professionals who can say, no, this is how this needs to be done. We are the specialists who should be seeing these patients. And also standing and being like, no, we do need to be reimbursed for these services fairly. So there is going to be this major shift. And I think that not just the clinics, but the professionals who can make that adaption the fastest are going to have a little bit more power. And just to kind of reemphasize what Dr. Glover was saying about using social media, things like YouTube, it's going to, depending on how that works out, the professionals who can make a stance with their social media as a brand, as a person, I know that's a big thing for you, Javier, is your branding. That may open up avenues where, of course, patients, you need to give high quality care in your clinic locally because you can't treat an abrasion or many different eye diseases through social media, at least not yet, or through computer. But it may open up the avenue that people may choose, hey, I want to go see Dr. Ramsey because he's the doctor who seems to really know it. But that person could be 1,000 miles away in a different state because you can connect through the internet. So it may open up a lot of aggressive expansion for competition.
Absolutely. Anybody else want to, Rachel or Adam, any additional thoughts?
Yeah, I can say we're seeing it a lot now. It's primary care offices in our area are doing diabetic eye exams with their retinal photography, and the PCPs are reviewing it. So we've said to them, we've built relationships with them and said, hey, look, send them to us. We will do the same thing, but here's how we're going to do it differently and do it better and what you could be missing. We've got multiple 18 offices in Charlotte are opening up that are doing virtual optometry. In our state, it's not allowed unless you're an ophthalmologist. These are all owned by ophthalmology. So you've got a doctor sitting in Georgia doing an eye exam in North Carolina via his iPad, and that's allowed. So we've reached out to a lot of these clinics and said, hey, you're going to have medical situations come in. You're going to have dry eye you can't treat. You're going to have abrasions. Here's our offices. Here's where we're located. Trying to build that relationship, letting them know we're that extra level that you can't do online, and just trying to build our presence in our community.
Yeah, absolutely.
They're a little bit different, because I feel like up until now, we've kept telemedicine and virtual stuff at arm's length away. You know, we've pushed it away. And right now, the same people that push it away, all of a sudden, 1 week later, is like, hey, let me figure out a way to do this virtual, because now it's financial. And to me, that sends mixed messages to the public, because a month ago, we were like, no, we're not doing that. And now we're like, hey, I'm open to it. You know what I mean? I'm open to it. I'm not against it, really. You know, and I feel like with the public getting used to this now, people that have never went to their primary care doctors remote are doing that. People that have never been, almost anything that can be done remote is being done remote. And I see it as almost like a positive, because there's money and resources that are being put into this that have never been put into it before. So the what we had as options for telemedicine, teleoptometry, we have never had that before. And I think a year from now, what we can do with this phone and what we can do with the computer, as far as making the exam more robust and getting us to see and do more things that we feel more comfortable with, I think we're going to be better off. And I think the ones that embrace it to some regard are going to be the best off. And for the ones that don't embrace it, I really feel like you have to make sure that your experience in your office is so good that they want to put on pants. Okay. They're not going to want to put on pants. Okay. They have to want to come into your office. And if you got to look around, and I would challenge anybody that's on here that has an office, go in there and say, from a patient perspective, would I want to visit this? Because all of us can go into, and we've been to beautiful stores and beautiful hotels and beautiful places, and say, is my experience easy? Is my experience patient friendly? Do I feel warm? Would I have felt invited? Do I feel like it was an efficient exam? Do I feel educated? Because if not, and they can't tell the difference between the cell phone exam and your exam, and don't feel any more educated, do not feel like I learned anything more or I got a better prescription because of it, then they're going to be going to the telemedicine options that were going to be there before. And legislators that were against telemedicine before, and we had them on our side to say, no, bet money the ones that needed telemedicine this last week or this last month and had a decent experience, they're not going to be on board to say no the next time around. So if we don't decide that we're going to take root and going to be able to advance the profession and allow us to be the ones that decide how telemedicine is done for optometry, somebody else is going to decide it. We're not going to be able to push it away anymore, because it is here and it's here to stay. So finding ways that we can utilize telemedicine, and then find a way to make my experience so good that the patient says, I want to put on pants and come to see Dr. Ramsey because I have a connection with that patient, is going to be very critical when we get back started.
And, you know, and I just want to kind of piggyback off of that. I mean, like, we really have to have ownership of this disruptive technology that's out there. And the only way that we're going to have ownership is if we're all on the same page. And I think the one person that's sitting on this panel that really has good perspective in regards to getting us on the same page is Rachel. Because when it comes to any type of legislation, being that we are in a legislative profession, we want to always continue to keep our rights, but also expand our scope. Being in North Carolina, I've witnessed firsthand Rachel on the front line fighting for us, making things right. So I would love for her just to talk about just the importance of, you know, legislation and how things take place. Not just from North Carolina, but she's all over the United States, really rooting for us and making things happen. And also, I would love for her to push and enforce the importance of donating money to your local organization, but also the AOA as well.
No pressure.
Yeah, that's it right there, Daryl. Now, I'll tell you, it's legislation's key. Right now, telemedicine, most states are not for it as far as an eye exam. Right now, what with the pandemic, it's great. We're able to have that communication with patients. One thing I do cautious everyone on is I also serve as a medical legal expert, and you still have that liability. So if there's something that potentially is missed that maybe we should be in the office for seeing, we still have that liability for us. We do have to be cautious there, you know, taking those histories and making sure we're not missing anything. But I do think this is our future. And in order for it to work for our profession, our state boards, our legislators, they have to be on board as well. And right now, I don't think that you would have many states stating this is the way we're going to do our future for complete eye care. With that being said, legislators are the ones that are going to help or hurt us. So if we're not talking with them, if we're not building relationships with these legislators, we have no skin in the game. I really encourage everyone to know, who are your local legislators? Who do you, what district are you in? who are you voting for? You know, what's their stance with optometry? Who's their local optometrist? And, you know, reach out to them, have a cup of coffee with them. But this is how we get things done, is building these relationships. Your state has PAC funds, political action campaign funds. So I encourage you, please, please, please donate to your state PAC. This is how you get things done in your state. You want lasers, you want injections, lumps and bumps. You've got to be able to go and talk to those legislators and have the funds to back a campaign to do that. Same thing on the AOA level. AOA, I think, is doing an awesome job right now, really supporting us through this pandemic, and we want to continue to support them. They've also have PAC funds, so please contribute to them as well, because that's how we get things done. That's how we set ourselves apart and continue to do what we are taught to do. What we were taught 10 years ago is different than we are taught now. So we need to continue to push forward and build those relationships.
Fantastic. I think that's a really, very, really important message more than ever, but it's a little different here, but I think very, very important nonetheless to make sure that we're all advocating for the profession however we can, so we can continue to grow. I'm just going to quickly answer a question here from Kim, who's just asking for Canadian optometrists here, whether we're able to bill and how we're managing that. So we're doing telephone medicine here, telemedicine, and using doxy.me for video stuff. And I think that's kind of a common platform for most people. Obviously this whole thing's just been a big mix, and everybody's trying to work their way through it. So we're trying not to stress too much, but we just recently got approval to bill our provincial healthcare for these telephone and video consults. Unfortunately, anything we saw in March doesn't apply, but everything starting April 1st. So we just bill it to what we call MSP. So any Canadians or BC optometrists listening, we're able to bill our consults to MSP. There's a code for the initial visit and then another code for the follow-up visit, which has to be, I think, at least 3 days after the initial visit. So moving on, we've had a bunch of questions, and you know, again, in the respecting time here, I would like to try to get through these as quickly as we can, but I think they're still very important. So questions from young ODs or new grads or upcoming grads, and then students, for you know, it's been a crazy time for these guys, right? They have exams postponed, they have all this other stuff going on, as stressful as school is, usually now they're gonna deal with all this stuff on top of it. Do you have any advice for students who would be graduating now and looking for jobs? Because of course, the job market has dried up, private practices have closed their doors and not exactly looking to hire right now. And one of the comments that was mentioned was the only people looking are companies in corporate optometry, and of course some people are not looking, or ideally did not want to work in corporate optometry. But what are your thoughts? It's kind of a multiple point question here. What are your thoughts about, you know, what could somebody in that position do? What are your thoughts about working in corporate optometry, pros and cons, if you could share some, and you know, how someone might go around navigating that? Rachel, I'm going to start with you because you are in a corporate setting. If you don't mind sharing some thoughts around that question.
Well, she has the best of both worlds. She's in corporate and private, right?
You're in both.
And ironically, over this past 2 months, we've been interviewing optometrists, and so we're hiring. Right now, we're finishing negotiations with our private practice new doctor that's going to be coming on, and she reached out to us and said, you know, do I still have a job? What's happening? I understand if you can't offer this. And we're like, no, we're still going ahead. So things we're looking at, we appreciated her reaching out to us. You know, we're not changing her contract at all, but we're going to start things like insurance credentialing, which can take months, if not up to a year with some of the insurances. Things that take a long time that we have time to do now. We're setting things up to bring her on, videos for her on our EMR. The corporate one, the doctor we offered a job to, there's a lot of jobs in Charlotte, so unfortunately she is going to a different practice, but we are ready to hire there as well. I'll tell you, I hear a lot of negative comments about corporate optometry, and I really think it depends on where you're at, and not the type, the quote-unquote, the type of practice, not a Walmart versus LensCrafters, it's Who owns it? Who are you working for? How are they making it a practice? I look at my corporate offices as private practices. We do dry eye, we do Procara, sclerals, plugs, we do all the supplements. It's not the typical corporate is what I've been told for our place, but that's how we make it. So I think there's lots of types of corporate practices out there. There's ones that you can see 40, 50 patients a day. And for some people, that's great. For us, we treat it a little differently and that's how we love it. So, you know, reach out, ask questions. How is it run? What do they expect of you? You know, how many patients are you supposed to see an hour? How many are you comfortable with? And you can set expectations for yourself too, letting the employer know, like, this is what I think I'm comfortable with. What are things you can negotiate on the contract too? That could be, you know, could I bring in dry eye? Could I do specialty lens clinics? And not just make it all about, hey, it's corporate, but how can you make it your own practice?
Joey, I want to actually ask you this same question because you, I think, are the newest grad of the group here. What year did you graduate?
I graduated in 2015. Yeah. Did residency right after that. And I did work a short kind of spell through being in corporate just because right out of residency, I got a job working part-time about 3 days a week at a private clinic where I got to still practice as much medical to the extent of I wanted to. So to fill in those two extra days, I took the first job I could find, which was at a corporate place or more, you know, kind of a commercial corporate place. You know, my experience there going from residency at the VA where it was like, I'm doing nothing but purely medical and then jumping into like, I'm doing just refraction. And it wasn't just refraction, but again, I agree with Rachel. It depends on where you're working and who you're working for. Cause I know some doctors who they practice, it's basically just a private practice. They treat as much medical as they want. It's just in kind of a box setting. Where the place I worked at, I couldn't be very long. After being there for about 2 weeks, I called up another eye clinic that I knew and just like, hey, do you have any room for me for a day or two a week? Just because I was so unhappy through that grind. And not at the place I was at discouraged medical practice, if anything, optometry. So, you know, I remember I was in the optical and a patient came in with a red eye and they really wanted to be seen. And I said, oh, of course, yeah, we'll handle that. And then the staff was like, no, like they were frowned upon it. So it was not my cup of tea, but I do have a classmate that I graduated with. He went into optometry school knowing he wanted to be in that setting. He already had a job lined up. And I know right now he's never been happier. He loves his where he's at. He's doing great. So,
I think that's sorry. Anybody else, Daryl or Adam, want to check?
Yeah.
Please go ahead.
You know, I got to talk about corporate optometry, baby. Let me tell you. I grew up in a private practice. Not my father or mother never was an optometrist, but you know, I sold glasses. I was an optometric technician. And then when I got out of practice or got out of optometry school, I went to private practice, and that private practice was sold to my eye doctor. So I experienced both worlds. And, you know, people, you know, they always want to talk badly about corporate optometry. I agree with everyone else. It depends on the outfit that you're with. Me personally, I'm with my eye doctor. And in my opinion, my eye doctor is like a private practice on steroids. And what I mean is, number one, we get paid like we're on steroids. Everyone likes to get paid nicely, and we do. Number two, we have so many offices that we're able to supply resources to our patients at a better price point simply because we get them at a better price. And then number three, we're able to practice, you know, full scope optometry. We have an OCT, we have a topo, we do specialty contacts, we do dry eyes, we do everything out there. So my advice to students is, continue to do exactly what you're going to do if this wasn't here, because people are hiring. Adam spoke on it earlier. People are looking for people to bring into their practice because some people are unhappy and some people are going to be a steal. So this is the best time to make this happen. And for all the students that are listening, holla at me. Your favorite optometrist, Daryl, Doc, Glover at myeyedoctor.com. I am a part of the recruiting team. I will take you on. I will educate you and I'll put you in the right place and we'll make your life a lot easier. Okay. Do not get upset with corporate optometry. It's a great thing. Private practice is a great thing as well. my thing in as being an eye care professional is to make sure that we are able to help all the people out there. I don't care what mode it is. I just want to make sure everyone gets the eye care that they need, whether it's here, whether it's Nigeria, whether it's Canada, whether it's on the moon. My goal is to make sure that everyone's taken care as far as eye care goes. And that could be private, that could be corporate, that could be the VA. I don't care. Let's just make sure that we take care of the world. And that should always be our number one thing.
Now, we should just end the conversation on that right there. That's like, and I'm just kidding. Adam, please.
Go on. My turn. No, everybody else went.
I could see you getting antsy there. He's like, all right, come on.
Hey, my turn. Okay, listen. I understand what the conversation started saying. Okay, woe is me. You know, the world's coming to an end. So we have to jump to corporate optometry. Nothing wrong with corporate optometry. But if I was a fourth-year student coming out, I wouldn't think that I had to go to corporate optometry. There are some rural practices that have been begging and looking for a doctor to come in. You have to expand your horizons and think outside of that small box, because those major metropolitan areas are going to take a longer time to get started back up. But that rural place that only has 1,000 people probably is not going to have a whole bunch of infections, because a lot of those people don't leave that small city. So you're going to be able to go to that city earlier, start seeing patients sooner than the person that's in metropolitan New York, Houston, Miami, anywhere else. The second thing, for people that are considering, like, I was going to open up a practice, I was going to do this, play chess, not checkers. Practical guide to warm start your 3-month practice. The reason I'm bringing this book up is, if I was coming out, I would love it right now. You know why? Because there are going to be a lot of practices for sale. There are going to be practices with doctors that are not going to open back up. There are going to be some practices that are going to be in some financial ruin. And all of a sudden, you're going to be able to walk into a practice and might not even pay anything because they didn't come back to their office. And now you have a completely built out office in a city. Or you're going to be able to buy it at pennies on the dollar because that doctor decides not to come back in. Or you'll get a deal from one that you were never planning on getting a deal from. So all of a sudden, let's not assume that you're going to have to go to corporate optometry. Because if you were working in a mall and that mall is closed, you can't go in even if you wanted to because the doors of the mall is closed. So unless that corporate place was in a standalone business or you had a separate door to enter, you may not have an access point. I know some corporate places around here that decided that instead of bringing their doctors back when this is over, they're putting in completely teleoptometry and they're not bringing back any doctors. They're using 20/20 now and they're using a refracting unit. And all of a sudden getting a doctor or somebody from overseas or an ophthalmologist to look over autorefractors and decide to come back in. So let's not have the conversation and have these probably 20 or 30 students that are watching us right now assume that corporate optometry is the only way to go. There's not anything wrong with corporate optometry, but let's not just throw in our chips and say private practice is not an option. Private practice is definitely an option. And I'm doing well. I'm going to be okay. I'm in private practice and I'm all right. The world is not coming to an end. I'm not losing my hair. I mean, I was losing it a little bit before, but it's not because of that. You know what I mean? We're going to be able to get back and be able to see patients in that. So I would expand where they're looking to go for private practice. And then I'll look and say, you know what? I might be able to buy a private practice at a cheaper price than I was able to buy it before. So this might be the best time to buy. Think of it like the housing market. Do you buy when it's high or do you buy when it's low? When we come back out, it's going to be the low season for prices on private practice. So when do you want to come by? If I had the cash, anybody watching that has some money that wants to get in, let's go. We can go buy these things on pennies on the dollar. Like, let's not think negative. Let's think positive. Let's think, how can we crush it? How can we dominate? When this is over, there's some people that are going to win and there's some people that are going to lose. I plan on being on the winning side. I'm not going to be sitting up here saying, oh, my God, let me sleep in till 11 o'clock because no, I'm up. Daryl is texting me by 5:30 in the morning. I roll over. I know Daryl is texting me at 5:30. If I roll over and that's not happening, there's a problem. So I know it's time to go. So there's opportunity. You can go to corporate, but there's still money to be made in private practice because we're going to be able to get back open. We're going to be able to get going. And there is possible. Just expand your horizons and think outside of the box. And you're going to separate the people that really want to hustle.
And the thing is that what the students have to realize is that, look at this panel. You got a panel full of all-stars. You got private practice, you got corporate optometry, you got the best of both worlds. If you're a student, don't be afraid to reach out to us. That's what we're here for. We're here to, as my homeboy Will Toe always says, pay it forward, you know, and that's what we're going to do in eye care. So if you have a question about private practice, ask the members here. If you have a question about corporate optometry, ask the members here. That's what we're here for. We want to see our profession grow. We want to see that everyone in the world gets eye care. So don't be afraid to reach out to us. That's what we're here for.
That's amazing. This is why I wanted you guys on here. This was beyond what I would have expected. This is fantastic. Thank you. The perspective is awesome. And you know what? You guys, all of you did a great job of incorporating something else, which I want to do was to try to leave, help everyone leave here with a positive perspective. And it's not dire. It's not all dire. It's not all woe is me. Like Adam says, there's opportunity out there. You just got to look for it. So I appreciate you guys sharing those perspectives. So normally, when I do a podcast, Daryl, I know you do this too. I'd like to ask a few little quick fire questions at the end. And then I have a couple of questions. That's two set questions I ask all my podcast guests. So I wanted to ask you guys, but it gets a little tricky with four people answering at the same time. So I hope you have, do you guys have that pen and paper with you?
Yeah. Oh.
If you don't, that's okay. Maybe you could like type it on your phone. What I want you to do is write it down and show me what your answer is. And they're going to be real quick. We're going to ask like five or six questions just to kind of get your guys' take on a few little thoughts. And then we'll get close to wrapping up here. So I was even going to play like the Jeopardy music in the background. Let me see if I can make that happen. Hang on one second here. All right. You guys ready? Otherwise, you guys are ready to go? All right. Okay. So number one. What is your top number one guilty pleasure? Let me write it down in less than 10 words. All of these questions I'm going to ask you. Oh. Everybody good? All right, let's see. Your top guilty pleasure, go. Cigars, food. Chocolate covered apples. Video games. Nice. I love it. All right. Number two. Go with Daryl's answer here. What is the number one food that you've been craving but you haven't been able to have during isolation here? All right, let's see it. Sushi, beer, red velvet cake, fufu and soup. Amazing.
I forget all day, man. Fufu and soup. I miss my mother's fufu and soup that I get at least once a week, man.
You know what, Damaris, thank you for answering. I'd love for the attendees to throw out some answers while we're doing this too. Please join in. I'd love to hear your guys answer these questions. All right, next question. Who would win in a fight between Superman and Batman? Okay, go. Superman, Batman, Superman, Batman. Wow, okay, Joey.
Right, Daryl.
That's that North Carolina swag right there.
Got it.
What? Okay, now I don't want to get too heavy with this, but what advice would you give to your president? I say your because I'm Canadian. What advice would you give to your president today? Rachel might still be writing, but let's see what else you guys got.
Oh, I've got, yeah.
Rachel's writing a novel. She's writing a whole manifesto. Yep. 10 words, Rachel.
Yeah, 10 words. Okay.
Pray to God and have faith. Protect health workers. Support health care. Joey, I can't see yours.
Yeah. Well, I'm starting somewhere around.
You and I have some kind of connection. I think that I was sending you telepathic. All right. all right. One more for fun, and then we're going to go into those last two questions I wanted to ask. Actually, you know what? Let's just go on, because I wanted to ask you one other really important question here. What has been the biggest silver lining during this period for you? Guys, time with my wife, that's nice. Joey, self-reflection. Rachel and Daryl,
this is business.
Staff,
patients and staff come first.
Can you read that at all?
Started. Yeah, family and
health.
Yep, you got it.
I love it, guys. Okay, so the two questions I ask all my guests on my podcast, the first one is, if you could go back in time, you don't have to share a specific time here because we're trying to limit the number of words, but if you go back to a time where it was tough for you, what advice would you give yourself at that moment in time? 10 words or less. Go. Rachel looks like she's ready. Rachel says, don't give up. Believe in yourself. Adam, relax. This too shall pass. Joey, don't be so hard on yourself. Daryl, invest more. Spend more time with loved ones. Is there another one below that?
No, it was three, but I didn't write anything
else. That's okay. It was only supposed to be one anyway. Thanks for the bonus one. And the last question that I ask everybody on my podcast is, with everything you guys each have accomplished so much already, and you're all so young, but everything that you've accomplished to this point, how much of it would you say, you could write a percentage down if you can, how much of it is due to hard work and how much is due to luck? How much of what you've achieved is due to hard work and how much is due to luck? Never realize how catchy that music is.
It is. It really is.
All right. Let's see it, guys. How much luck? How much hard work? 99% blood, sweat, and tears. 1% luck. 100% hard work. Luck when opportunity meets preparation. I love that. Joey, 75-25. I assume that's 75 hard work. And Daryl, 100% hard work and faith. Beautiful. I love it. Thank you, guys. You know what? There was one answer in the chat here that I loved. I assume it was an answer to the silver lining question. It said, not getting my eyes dilated at school every day. I love it. Okay. I'd love for you guys to quickly share where people can find you, because I know you've all said, you know, shared that people can get in touch with you. Rachel, where can everyone find you?
Best place is Instagram. I'm at Dr. I Got This.
Joey?
You can find me as Joey Allen personally on Facebook. However, Dr. Eye Health, you can connect with me on there, whether it be Instagram, YouTube. You can find me as Joey Allen on LinkedIn. As an extra resource, just because I'll have to follow Dr. Ramsey. He had that shameless plug of his book. If you want to get more into social media, whether it be for your practice or just yourself, I did put myself through kind of hell last week, building a digital course. If you want to go through that course and check it out, it is on about 40% off right now. You just go to drjosephallen.com, doctor is lowercase dr, and then josephallen.com. I'll put that in the comments if you want to check it out. You can grab that course and you can learn a lot of the tips and strategies that I've been using to build my social media, and they apply directly to iClinics. So yeah, if you're looking to kind of grow that area of your expertise, you can check that out.
Yeah, that's excellent, Joey. Sorry, I didn't get around to that earlier. I did want to have you put that out there. Yeah. I can speak from experience. I've actually gone through the course, and it's really thorough. There's a lot of great information, and I think it's good for anybody who wants, whether you're a beginner level or beyond intermediate and beyond. So check it out. Dr. Ramsey.
You can find me at Dr. Ramsey, DrAdamRamsey.com. You can find that on Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, everywhere. You can find the playchestnotcheckers.net. You can get the book there. You can get it on Amazon. You can get it on my site. You can get the ebook. All that is available. And Dr. Derek Glover and I also do Black Eye Care Perspective. It's for Black optometrists, opticians, ophthalmologists, eye care professionals, community here. We're trying to grow the eye care profession. So you type in our name. If you can't find us, you're not looking hard enough. So
or you're not looking at all, because it's pretty easy to find you guys. And Dr. Glover.
Yeah, it's your favorite optometrist, Dr. Daryl Glover. You can find me on any social media platform, Dr. Daryl Glover. You can also check me out on Defocus Media, defocusmedia.com, and on every social media platform, we're at Defocus Media as well. And as Dr. Ramsey touched on, Black Eye Care Perspective, I want you guys to check that out. We have three major goals. Number one, we want to make sure that African Americans are sitting in these boardrooms when these big decisions are made. We have to realize that the landscape of optometry has changed, so we don't need to see the same faces in those positions. We need to change. I mean, just look at school. 70% of the population are females, so we need to see more females there. We also need to see more African Americans. Number two, we want to make sure that products that are in our communities or in eye care offices cater to African American faces. Whether it's a frame, whether it's the OCT machine and having the right research, we want to make sure that we're catered to. And then lastly, we have a lot of colleagues that practice in areas where there's a lot of African Americans. We want to make sure that they have the tools and understand how to communicate with those patients as well. So Dr. Daryl Glover, Defocus Media, Black Eye Care Perspective. Check me out. I look forward to touching bases with you guys. And if you have any questions in regards to a job, Daryl.Glover@myeyedoctor.com. We'll get you set up. We'll make sure you get paid well. We'll make sure you have the best lifestyle possible.
I'm thinking about joining you now, Daryl. I'm just going to move down to the U.S. That's awesome. Thank you again, guys. Truly, truly, truly so grateful. All you guys are amazing. And thank you everyone who joined us for this webinar, all the attendees. I really appreciate you taking the time out of your day to spend this here with us to learn and to grow. I'm actually going to be doing this as a little bit of a series. I plan to have another one of these webinars in the near future, maybe next week if all works well, with a few more All-Star ODs. So please keep an eye out for that. Otherwise, thank you so much again for being here, guys. Have a great night. Take care of yourself. Stay healthy and stay happy.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much. You guys are awesome.
All right.